certainly a great occasion for us all to be here in this landmark of a completion of some service and a beginning of more service. And that is the nature of devotional service. It's the means and the end. It never stops. The beginning of this particular project is several devotees have mentioned, was Mother Archivigraha's suggestion. She built a house in Radharaman Bagicha, which I believe must have been part of that same large area owned by the Radharaman Goswamis. And just next to the plot that she bought, just so happened that the British Yatra bought a plot and built a facility where Shivaram Swami and Govinda Swami often spent time. When Mother Archivigraha was diagnosed with cancer, I took it that Krishna is accelerating her journey back home and suggested she just move to Vrindavan. She was a renowned artist in South Africa, and she had traveled the world looking both for spiritual enlightenment and finding themes for her artwork. So, yeah, she lived with Bedouins and just different types of people in different parts of the world. And when she came in touch with Krishna consciousness, she thought, well, she'll go to India and build a place as an art studio and get themes for her artwork here. So she did develop cancer, and she did come here to spend her last days. And she loved Vrindavan. It's not exactly, externally, it's not exactly what it was 15 years ago when she left. But it's there. But in those days, there was a bird sanctuary here. And every morning, the trees were just filled with peacocks. And you'd hear the sounds of the peacocks. And there would be cuckoos and parrots, which I believe are technically parakeets, but we call them parrots. And just next to her house was a little goshala, and the cows would be there, and the sadhus, Balaram Baba, Kirtan. One night on Dor Purnima, or Holi, there had been a Krishna Leela presentation, and the children who played Radha and Krishna and were dressed as Radha and Krishna, they came in to her room, either to give her darshan or to take her darshan. And she just loved Vrindavan. And she wanted other devotees to have the same opportunity that she had to live in Vrindavan in a home or home-like atmosphere with the association of devotees.
Hare Krishna.
And it really seemed that Srimati Radharani or Srila Prabhupada made all arrangements. I had never been aware of the term hospice at the time. And later when I heard about the term and came to know what hospice care was, I realized that Mother Archivigraha had gotten it just by the love and inspiration of the devotees. You know, one devotee knew physical therapy, so she would come. Someone else knew massage. Someone else, of course, there were some pretty esoteric healing modalities that had, say, mixed results. But the idea is people came forward on that level. And spiritually, devotees would come and do kirtan and read Jamal Krishna Goswami, Shivaram Swami, Keshava Bharati Maharaj. Roy Dakrabhu would come every day at 4 in the afternoon. And Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami was amazing. I mean, he was her next door neighbor, but he was just there all the time. After he did his puja in the morning, he would bring his deities, his Gornitai deities and Govardhan Shivas. And whatever it was, and he would be there. And if there was a crisis, he would be there. He took care of the caregivers, made sure that they were all right. Just amazing. And he also became a Shiksha Guru to Mother Archivigraha. Because we always talk about remembering Krishna at the time of death. But what does that mean? I mean, we think of Krishna playing a flute in the clouds, or what does it actually mean? So Govinda Maharaj explained it. It really means that you think of Krishna in Vrindavan with his associates in his pastimes. And you even think of his pastimes and his associates with a personal mood of longing to assist them in their service to Krishna. And from his instruction to her, she got the idea what it really means to think of Krishna, especially at the time of death. And then all the readings, japa, kirtan, and pilgrimage visits took on even greater meaning and significance. So devotees would come and read to her. Sometimes we would read prayer. Prayers too, of course. Many wonderful prayers that are charities. But we also read a drama written by Rupa Goswami. And we took different parts. I don't remember who was who, but Tamal Krishna Goswami, Shivaram Swami, Govinda Swami, different devotees would each play a role by voice and entertain her and try to enliven her.
And
which drama? The Gandhar Mada?
Yeah,
the Gandhar Mada, Lalit Kumara. It's Kusha Prabhupada's translations.
And it was a very uplifting experience for all of us. And I think that's something that everyone who works with dying people, especially who are God conscious, experience. I developed a friendship with a rabbi in Santa Barbara. A rabbi is like a Jewish clergyman. And he had, anyway, he's very open to Vedic culture and knowledge. And he came from a small, relatively small congregation at the University of California at Santa Barbara to take charge of a big, prosperous congregation. And I don't think there were many people like he could confide in as a peer then. And so he told me that he actually, I asked from my experience, that he actually felt drained dealing with the big congregation and just the way they did things. It was different from. And I said, well, yeah, that's something we all deal with. We want to elevate people, but like it's sort of like we're pulling them up and they're pulling us down. But we're also being helped by people, and we're probably a bit of a drag for them. So I said, well, amongst your different activities, are there any that particularly nourish you? And at that time, he was giving an early morning class in Jewish mysticism. So that was nourishing. And then he was almost shy to express it to me because he thought it might have sounded odd that he gets a lot of nourishment ministering to congregants who are leaving their bodies. He said somehow ministering to a congregant who's leaving his or her body, you enter into like a very sacred spiritual space. And he found that to be especially nourishing to him spiritually. So, serving devotees, caring for devotees, and especially at the end of life, is extremely rewarding. Extremely rewarding. Like Shakespeare's line, I'm a little fuzzy, but the quality of mercy is not strained. It falls like the rain and nourishes, something like that. And it's really, the service to the devotees that pleases Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And that is really what bhakti means, to please Krishna. And please Krishna by pleasing his devotees. The last time I visited Vrindavan, about 3 years ago,
I was here for only 5 days. And in those 5 days, one day was sort of dedicated for pilgrimage. And I planned quite a number of visits on that day, from morning to night. And at the end, Dina Bandhu Prabhu, who accompanied me or escorted me, said that many devotees come with the idea of visiting many places in a single day, but it rarely happens. And he was surprised that it actually did happen. But I was just trying to follow Srila Prabhupada's example of being subservient. Someone had commented that Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, even before he went to America, he was always very focused on his service. You didn't see him roaming here and there. He had his mission. He had a service to his spiritual master. He was always very focused. So, out of those 5 days, I got one day. But this time, I had many thoughts of places to visit. But it didn't take long before I understood, sort of got the idea that I may not get beyond the neighborhood of from the Srila Prabhupada Samadhi to the Bhaktivedanta Hospice. That's going to be as far as I get. And that's fine, because everything depends on service to the Guru and the mercy of the Guru. Anyway, that's, you know, I was going to say that's my faith or that's my conviction. Maybe I should say that's my only hope. So, anyway, well, we're in Vrindavan. And,
excuse me? What is your hope?
Prabhupada's mercy. Yeah.
In Vrindavan?
No. Serving Prabhupada and getting his mercy is my only hope, wherever it is. Could be Bombay.
Prabhupada's everywhere, that's
it. Yeah. Could be Kazakhstan, could be Philadelphia. So, now, yeah, so originally I had like very big ideas for fulfilling Mother Archivigraha's desire or request. And I thought we'll get like a big plot of land and we'll construct cottages, like small houses, so every devotee will have his or her own house, just like Mother Archivigraha had. But when we looked into it, we saw to get that much land for any sort of affordable price would take us far from the Krishna Balaram temple, which we didn't want to do. And as time passed and inflation increased, well, not just with great inflation, there was a lot of people started moving in and buying up land and prices. Anyway, we figured will do what hospices try to do, which is create the atmosphere of a home in an institutional setting. And visiting different hospices in America, they really try to do that. There's like a living room, a dining room. They try to make the patient feel at home, that he's in or she's in his or her home. And so many people helped along the way, I can't even begin, but one was Aviram Prabhu. It was just before Tamakrishna Goswami came to Mayapur for the last time. We had a long talk on the phone, for which I'm very grateful, because we discussed practically every aspect of my service and my life, including the hospice project. And he said, "You know, I'm very interested in this project, and if you want, you can make me a trustee." Anyway, then he left, and that created it. We've all been seeing how the departure of a Vaishnav has tremendous effects. I mean, in some ways, they can have more effect through their departures than they had during their presence. So one effect of Tamakrishna Goswami's departure was that the whole movement became united, which is very rare in Mayapur. The whole movement became united in remembering him and glorifying him. A Vaishnava, a servant of Srila Prabhupada. And then the people who are dear to the person who left, they become more dear to you because of their connection with the departed soul. And I know Aviram Prabhu, I mean, Tamakrishna Goswami, he, at one stage, he felt like the management in ISKCON needed a little jolt or boost, sort of like the same people doing everything, having too much to do and maybe not even having that much experience or qualification to do it. So I remember he had the idea that there are like certain householders, very qualified householders, who should be given a chance. And one was Aviram Prabhu, one was Nareshwar Prabhu, one was Advaita Chandra Prabhu. And so there was some sort of reorganization, different committees, MBT. And so I knew that Aviram Prabhu had a relationship with Tamakrishna Goswami and that he was expert in building resorts and ashrams. I was very impressed with the MBT, so I phoned him. And we both saw it as an opportunity, in a way, you know, to serve Srila Prabhupada and Tamakrishna Goswami together. And, I mean, his contribution in terms of the development was great. But one contribution that I should acknowledge here is that for Srila Prabhupada's centennial, different devotees had contributed for what was to be a Prabhupada park. This land was actually bought through the donations of different ISKCON devotees to become like a Prabhupada park. But nothing had really been done with it. It was just sort of there. And, you know, as Aviram Prabhu saw, like, one after the other apparent opportunity to get land, just vanish. He thought of the parkland. And he approached the different donors, and they were all completely willing. They thought, this is Prabhupada's service, serving Prabhupada's devotees. Prabhupada will be more pleased. So they willingly, you know, for just a token amount, really, gave the parkland for the use of the hospice. So there are literally too many to mention, and some have already been mentioned. So I think I'll skip ahead a little more to the present and future. You know, as we saw in the case of Mother Archivigraha, so many devotees from the community, from the neighborhood, they just came around and offered to help. You know, kirtan, read, you know, bringing deities, bringing Mahaprasad, Govinda Maharaj made some, I think, chocolate peanut butter burfi that she really liked. And that raises another important question in hospice care, which is quality of life versus quantity of life. It's an axiomatic principle in hospice care that the patient has the right to decide how he or she wants to spend her last days. And it's often like that, that we may face a choice between quantity and quality. You know, I mean, I picked on the peanut butter burfi as a sort of humorous example that, you know, quality of life means peanut butter burfi, even if it reduces one's duration of life. But in a more typical context, it means to what extent does the patient want to accept medical interventions that will disturb his or her consciousness for the sake of prolonging his or her life? To what extent does one want to be free from those encumbrances to just think about Krishna, chant and hear about Krishna, have loving exchanges with devotees, family members? And often a devotee will decide, I don't want all these tubes in me, or I don't want to go to the hospital, I don't want chemo, I don't want radiation. I just want to live my life in its natural course and chant and hear about Krishna and reciprocate with devotees and loved ones. And that's something that we have to respect. Of course, family and loved ones will naturally want the person to stay longer. I'm like that. We were like that with Prabhupada. But ultimately, it's really, you know, between them and Krishna. It's not for us to decide or try to impose our will upon them. And sometimes by getting out of the way of their desires in terms of their departure, we're doing a better service. We're doing a better service. So that's there. But anyway, just to come back to the last point, you know, we want this to be like a house, like Prabhupada's house for his sick children. And we invite you to come and serve the devotees here in any way. At the end, devotees, I mean, even during life, but especially at the end, a devotee may go through different periods. For some time, the devotee may really just want to be alone and sort of process things on his own, like just him and Krishna and Prabhupada, or maybe a few intimate friends. And other times, the person may be ready to open the doors wide, let anyone enter. So we have to be sensitive to that. So when I sort of welcome you or invite you to come and spend time with the devotees, it's, of course, with sensitivity to what they want. And apart from the specific services to the patients, which would require some training, in I guess for 2 months, January, February, Mother Sangeeta and Mother Kolini are coming, and they'll be giving a training course for volunteers, for skilled volunteers to help the patients. But there are other services, making garlands for the deities, cleaning, I mean, whatever. And a lot of hospice care, as you've seen from the figures, is just extended to people in their own homes. They don't have to come here. And we also want to extend our care to them. So, it's a landmark. We've come to a certain stage in our service, but it's a beginning. Because when people have a terminal illness, you could say it's the beginning of the end. And for us, opening the hospice is the end of the beginning. Now our real service begins, and I feel greatly blessed and privileged and honored and almost overwhelmed to be part of this effort with so many wonderful devotees. His Holiness Radhanath Swami, the way he came forward, of course, I must say that before that, Krishna Chandra Prabhu had visited me in Santa Barbara. And before anyone, I mentioned the idea to him, you know, is this possible? Can we do this? And he said, yes, you know, I'll be there for you. Don't worry. Like, complete assurance. And at that time, it was more on an individual basis. Raghunath Das was the director of the hospital then, and he was very interested and like very dynamic and charismatic and cosmopolitan. So it began like that, but gradually, you know, we realized this is huge. This is huge. This isn't just Krishna Chandra and Raghunath and Abhiram and Sangeeta and me. This is huge. And we need local devotees who will always be here. You know, they won't come and go. And then I discussed the whole thing with Radhanath Swami. I mean, our debt of gratitude is unlimited because he had just been serving Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami was so much in the mood of care for devotees. And Maharaj had just cared for Bhakti Tirtha Swami and was undoubtedly influenced, you know, inspired and influenced by his mode of care for devotees, though. But anyway, he said, yes, I'll speak to the doctors, and Madhavananda and Vishwarupa are such an amazing team. They're very complimentary. And I think they've been friends for decades from college days, so. I mean, it's unlimited. Yeah. So, all I can say now is Hare Krishna. It's unlimited, and how to fit the unlimited into our limited time and space, it's all in those two words, Hare Krishna.